Hello, everyone. Welcome to Soul Up with Kayleen Welsh. This is episode 2, and I'm really grateful that you're here tuning in again. I have to admit that after I announced the launch of the podcast last week, I found myself definitely hit a wall of fear and felt like, oh, crap, what did I get myself into? But I'm very excited to be showing up here on a regular basis, and we'll see how that regular basis comes together as we go here. My intention is to show up weekly. I'd like to focus on aligning with the rhythm of the universe. That's a big part of how I work and what I think is important as we remember and reconnect with our awareness of ourselves as nature beings. And so I want to show up and talk about the astrology, what is going on in the heavens and in the earth and the seasons, the rotation as we go through life. So I will be showing up on somewhere around the new moon and the full moon, giving an update of how I see things happening and where we're at and what the energies are that are flowing onto the planet at the time. So new moon, full moon, I'll look to show up. I also plan to do some interviews with some people that I think have stories, authentic stories, and are willing to share their truths about their spiritual paths and how life has been for them, some of the healing and pieces that they've worked through. It does seem to be very important that we all open up to sharing a little bit more about the challenges that we've faced and what we've learned through them and how they've shaped and molded us and what we've learned then that we can maybe help somebody else who is dealing with something similar. So like I said, this podcast will evolve as we go and we'll see what else comes together. Today, as I'm releasing episode 2 here, is Independence Day, the 4th of July. It's kind of an interesting time to think about celebrating America. I've become aware of just how much of our history has been steeped in revolution, and that the beginning of this nation as we came together was from a place of revolt and an unwillingness to experience tyranny. So it's interesting as we explore the astrology and what's going on right now and how some of this is playing out again or showing up in forms that feel very reminiscent of pieces from the past. I'd like to share with you just a little bit about myself and my background. Many of you probably don't know me. I am a licensed therapist. I've been a licensed therapist for quite a long time. My background was very agency focused for a long time. I worked with families in their homes. I struggled very much with the medical model. I struggled very much with insurance and the whole system of how we pay for and receive care. I don't like to see mental things classified as mental illnesses because I do believe that much of that is really life illnesses. So anyway, I've been in a private practice since 2011, quite a long time now, and I've done thousands of sessions with people, and I've really found the opportunity that I'm sharing in their heart. You know, it's sharing heart space with people. That, you know, that independence that I found to step into private practice and to leave the insurance and the medical model behind has been very opening for me. It's definitely created a sense of freedom that I experience, and I celebrate my independence from a broken system. I guess what I want to say here is that I just feel like our system needs to expand, and that's what we need to do in a lot of different areas of our life. There's been a lot of systems that are breaking down, and we'll talk about that as we look at the astrology of what's been happening here. Our challenge is to how do we open them? How do we expand them into something more? Because there is a lot of good in therapy. We all need support at times. Therapy has gotten a really bad rap and needs to be expanded, which is why the focus of my work has become broadened into an awareness of physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, holistic. Who are we as beings on planet Earth with our arms raised to the heavens for the greater mystery of what really is more? And one of the main messages that I always want to make is helping us all remember that we are a part of nature, and like all of life is that is around us, we are deluged, imbued steadily with lots of invisible life forces. You know, we don't see them, we don't measure them, but I mean, we're under the laws of gravity and magnetism and all these things all the time. And like every living thing on the planet, our lives shift and move in alignment with a natural cycle, like the seasons. And this happens whether we're conscious of how this is playing out for us or not. It is important to remember it's not like these energies are just beamed at us and, you know, somehow or other we react. They're processed through each one of us, which really requires us to be self-aware, self-responsible. We want to be aware of how these energies come through us, because they can come through in light expression or not so good expression. You know, there's the shadow side, depending on what our own wounds and traumas, emotional blocks, conditioned beliefs about life and how it's, you know, how we're supposed to be and what the limitations are, our level of consciousness. All of these things are factors in how this infusion of subtle energies is processed through our system. So, I mean, as I talk about the astrology and come back for the new moon and full moon, and it could be very helpful for you if you do not already have one to get yourself a copy of your natal birth chart. That is essentially your blueprint, your unique pattern of the energies that were focused in your space and time at the moment of your birth. And so as I talk about the astrology in the podcast here, I'm basically looking at a natural chart with Aries, the beginning. So that said, it really is a chart for humanity. We're looking at the greater influences that are influencing all life. And it's really helpful if you have your own chart that you can like overlay it and see where things line up. For this episode today, we're going to talk a lot about Cancer energy. We're about 2 weeks into Cancer season. It started June 21st and will continue until July 22nd when the sun moves into the sign of Leo. All of these are archetypal energies, and they infuse us with like evolutionary forces and things that support life and us moving forward. And as an archetypal energy, then Cancer is really about home, family. It's about our roots and our ancestral line. It takes us deep into our past and our stories, into the generations before us. And this is really the place where we see and work with intergenerational trauma residue that's carried forward in our DNA. We are learning more all the time about epigenetics, about how unresolved trauma experienced by our ancestors is passed on genetically. And so we're learning a lot about how some of these trauma experiences show up in all of us. So this is an opportunity. The Cancer season is where some of this shows up. It's ruled by the moon, which really does carry the remnants of our past and the unconscious, subconscious depths of our awareness, what we really understand. The moon rules emotions, which are represented by the element of water, and water is certainly flowing. We've had so much rain here in Wisconsin the last while. The rivers are overflowing. The Mississippi River near me is flooding. Today, my sweet spot, I have a sweet spot in Mexico where I go every winter called Isla Mujeres. It's called the Isle of Women. And they're in the, you know, early onset of hurricane weather. And how hard they'll get hit is yet to be seen. But emotions, you know, water, it's flooding. And emotions are energy in motion. And they certainly are stirring. You know, we can look around us at the people around us, at the circumstances of life right now, and we can definitely see that emotions are stirring. People in general are inclined to be extra sensitive during Cancer season. And it really is a very nostalgic time as we consider, you know, where have we come from and what do we want, you know, these family traditions and what have we brought forward from our families and what do we want to keep? It takes us really down into the depths of our life, the depths of our psyche. It rules the fourth house, and the fourth house is very much said to be the root of our soul and our psyche, the deepest place that we go as human beings. So we've been in Cancer season, and tomorrow we have a new moon in Cancer, which throws in another extra dose of this energy. And we can think about new moons as an opportunity to pay attention to what's coming up for us, what's, you know, showing up in our life, what seems to be emerging as a focus or something that needs some attention. It is the beginning of the lunar cycle, and the lunar cycle can take us through a path of evolution. It can be a time where we focus in, you know, just really feel pulled into some pattern that we're becoming aware of, or some insight about a relationship or about how we are with life. So it's a really good time to pay attention to your issues and desires, what comes up for you at this time. For whatever comes into focus reflects a space, a new opening for awareness and growth. When I look at the energies, some of the other planetary positions and things around this new moon, I want to designate the theme, come home to care. It just feels like a time when we just need to reevaluate what it is to care for ourselves, to care for each other. We definitely need to consider how we care for the United States, our communities, our neighbors, how we care for the world. And we are at a time right now, which other astrology will back up for us here, but there's no room for apathy. How do we move past that and open back up to heart, to care? It is a time of high vibrational heart energy. People are sensitive. Hurts come to the surface. And we are called to reevaluate what it is that we really do care about. This moon is asking us to get really clear. What is it that you really care about? What do you need? What does your heart long for? And I think a good way to think about this is if you had three wishes, you know, what would you wish for? What would you use your wise mind to wish for? So there's a lot of planetary pieces we could look at here. And I really want to, I guess, clarify that there are probably other astrologers that would be better to listen to for all the specific details. And, you know, all of this comes together because I tend to be more of a generalist. I'm looking at the bigger picture. These are all specific points that come together to create a bigger picture. So there's a couple of bigger picture items that I want to call our attention to. The first one is Pluto. Pluto, the transformer, has been showing up in our life for a while now and showing us pieces of our life that we'd really rather not acknowledge or look at. It does that to us individually and collectively. And again, we can look, you know, Pluto has been very active since 2008, but, you know, got really hit up with some other things like through this COVID time. I think as a society, we've seen some things from the ugly underbelly. Is that what I'd want to say? You know, some of the deeper pieces of our society, our culture, our lives, that we've really either just like buried enough that we didn't pay much attention. It's gone to the subconscious, it's gone underground. That's what Pluto does. It brings up things from the subconscious and brings up things we don't want to look at. So Pluto has been in Capricorn since 2008, and it's been very active. It's been busting up systems and traditions that no longer serve us. And we can see this in the dysfunction, right? So many of our structures and systems, we can see the dysfunction that they are operating under. Government, religion, our medical system, our educational systems, our financial systems, our legal systems. Yeah, no, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. We're seeing a lot of things come up that do not that show us how these systems are no longer functioning the way that is supportive to life and people. So Pluto has really been leading us through the breakdowns so we can come to a breakthrough. It's wrapping up this 12-year cycle in Capricorn and has dipped into the new sign, the next sign, which is Aquarius, which gives us a glimpse of where things will be going next, but does a little bit of a forward and backward dance. But it's in Aquarian now, giving us a taste of the future, really, because Aquarian energy is about the future. It's about doing something new and different. It's getting out of the box. It's working for the greater good. Aquarius is definitely the sign of the collective. And like I said, they'll dance back and forth for a while. I mean, it'll be into 25 or maybe early 26 before things settle out. I don't have those dates in front of me. But it is important that we take this time as we do this dance back and forth, because the retrograde motion of Pluto gives us an opportunity to sort out a little bit more again. What do we want our future to look like? You know, what no longer serves us, and, you know, what then needs to happen for us to create something new. We don't talk a lot about karma. It tends to be a highly charged word about, you know, these bad things we did, so we're getting payback. I think I have to look at the history of humanity and say, yeah, we probably have some karma, some payback, some things that we have to take responsibility for, the things that we need to do something different about. So Pluto is a lot about karma, and, you know, it's showing us a lot where we've come from as humanity, what we've turned a blind eye to, and what we need to see more clearly. It is offering us transformation and change at a very core level. And to get to a new future, we have to clean up the debris of where we've been. Supporting things right now, cosmically, are Neptune and Saturn. You know, both of those are pretty heavy hitters that are come in for this cleanup effort. And right now, both of them are retrograde in Pisces. When we look at the wheel of the year, Pisces is the final sign. It's the place of completion where we're, you know, come to the end of the cycle and we're ready for our next spiral of evolution. So it represents, you know, this kind of final frontier before we take a leap into a new unknown. Pisces represents the mystery, the great unknown. It is the house of spirit, of unconditional love, of imagination. It's where imagination sits. And it is the house of oneness. Neptune rules the 12th house. Neptune's definitely been at home there. It's been there for a long time. It's gone around this cycle. A Neptune cycle is like 165 years to go around the complete wheel. And it's ready to complete that cycle of 165 years and start a new one. As I maybe have mentioned, but probably should reiterate, all of these archetypal energies, as they show up through each of us, have the opportunity to be expressed either in light or shadow. So yeah, in the house of light or through the lens of light and its highest expression, Pisces is about, you know, bliss, joy, mystery, relationship with the divine, with something greater. In its shadow, it is also known as the house of undoing, as it reflects our wounds and our suffering. It can be a place where we just choose to escape, blissfully escape, where our addictions, you know, take us out of life or, you know, give us some comfort of some kind. So both of these planets are, you know, Neptune right now and Saturn are going retrograde in Pisces. And when a planet is retrograde, we're offered an opportunity to get another look. So, and Neptune, you know, you think about this 165-year cycle, but it went all the way up to as far almost to the end as it could go. It went to 29 degrees Pisces, 56 minutes. So it's just like just shy of like total completion, before now it's going retrograde. Giving us a chance to review, to reconsider, to really look at what have we become clear on in this last cycle of 165 years as humanity, where the heck are we? We've completed this process of spiritualization, and so now, as we are ready to leap forward, where is this going to take us? So I thought it would be interesting to look back to see what was happening when Neptune was back at the beginning of this cycle. So you look back to the 1860s. It's not a real pretty time. You know, just before that, you know, we're having a lot of issues around certainly slavery. This is the whole 1860s, the early 1860s. So much of that was around slavery and the Civil War. As I looked back over news items and things like that, we were still either slaughtering or educating, right? Putting in schools and reservations, Native Americans. Even in the midst, of the Civil War of the 1860s, we've got General Ulysses S. Grant, who barred Jews from serving under him. Even though he was at war, he didn't need Jews for soldiers. And while in Russia, that I read that at that point it was finally allowed for Jews to publish books. So, you know, we can see that there is a lot going on at that time that we are sort of having revisitation around. Who are we marginalizing? Who are we trying to control? Or where are we as far as our stance in care and relationship to other people? And what's really adding another dose of interest to this situation is the new moon is square the nodes of fate. The nodes of fate, the nodes of the moon, they represent very much a choice point. It's like, which way are you going to go? They sit opposite each other. They're a square to the new moon means that it's like, yeah, like a challenge point. Like, which way are you going to go? We can choose to stay in comfort zone of tradition, you know, maintain status quo, keep on, you know, I guess what word do I want to say, labeling people, putting them in boxes, holding people back. We can keep on doing that if we choose. Or we can follow the call of spirit that invites us to a new way. I would say one that could reflect higher consciousness, greater love, and expansion as we come home to care again. We come home to our heart. I really have to ask, are we going to repeat these patterns? Or if we spent 165 years being spiritualized, are we ready to do something different? What would that look like? When we look back to the past again, that Neptune cycle of 160 some years ago came to conclusion with the Emancipation Proclamation and the holiday of Thanksgiving, now, which I do have some difficulty with some of the ideas around that. At the same time, gratitude is one of the greatest things that we can embrace. And if we can reimagine that holiday from a spirit of Thanksgiving, that's an important piece too. So what could life be like, though, if we were really able to take what we've learned from these pieces of the past and lift them into new and greater expression? And then we add on top of this, we didn't talk about Saturn retrograde, but Saturn is reality. Saturn is kind of the heavy. He's the anchor. He comes in and holds things in place. He's the bones and the structure. And Saturn retrograde then is about creating a new reality. This whole transition from Capricorn to Aquarius, all this work that we're doing here is really, it's time to break out of old boxes, reimagine, reinvigorate, revise. And strong, stable Saturn is asking us to make it real. So what does it mean to bring forth a new level of spiritualization? You know, what would a little more heaven on earth look like? What would we do differently if we professed and lived by these spiritual qualities of acceptance, tolerance, joy, creativity, beauty, reverence? Cancer, in its highest soul expression, is said to, like, if we summarized it into a one-word archetype, the word would be understanding. It's about sensitivity and caring. It's about compassion. It's about learning to understand other people, not bullying over them, but standing under, which to me indicates support, caring for. Cancer rules the solar plexus, the gut. So it's a good time to ask questions about what are you processing or trying to digest. Metaphorically and literally, are you ingesting healthy, nourishing, life-sustaining foods? By doing so, we build our strength, our will, and our personal power. Not power over, power within. You know, power to make a difference. So Cancer, you know, bring the care. How do we care for each other? There are so many pieces to talk about in this moon, but there's a couple more I just need to talk about. Chiron, you know, Chiron is the wounded healer. Chiron is a kind of a reflection of our human experience because we're all wounded. Every single one of us has been wounded in some way or other that we have like figured out or we're figuring out how to work our way through and come to terms with and live accordingly with. And it is in that process of learning to live with or through that we heal. So the wounding becomes the healing. So Chiron is sitting in conjunction with Eris. Eris is one of the goddesses of astrology that we've been exploring a little bit in recent years. And Eris is really the voice of the marginalized. She speaks for those who don't feel like they have a place at the table. Chiron and Eris are hanging out together in the astrological sign of Aries, the sign of the masculine, the sign of identity. Who are we? So together they're speaking to our wounds around identity, around where we fit, where do we feel like we belong, whether we see ourselves as enough. You know, all of that's getting stirred so that it can be healed and resolved, so that we can, instead of staying stuck in the patterns of the wound, that we can do something different. And so really we can answer the call of the North Node, one of those nodes of the moon that's calling us into choice, but that North Node, also in Aries, calling us to a new sense of self. I'm going to say individually and collectively. You know, as we've looked at all we've learned and all we've gained, we can see there's been an overemphasis on masculine energy. We can see that there's been a repression of feminine energy. We can see that a lot of people have been marginalized. We can see that we've fallen into a lot of areas of greed and corruption. And so it's coming back into understanding our own truth and being called to more. Eris is the part of us that says, no, I can't stand by that any longer. I see things differently now. I'm willing to do the work to heal family prejudices and outmoded patterns. I'm ready to be done with religious and cultural ideology that shames and condemns. Open instead to a broader vision of God, divine life that includes me, that includes all of us. I am a part of that life, and I am prepared to step into a greater awareness of who I am. That's what we're being called to. And one final piece to look at is this new moon is at 14 degrees Cancer, in direct opposition to Ceres, the Great Mother, who's at 14 degrees Capricorn. Cancer and Capricorn, you know, two sides of an equilibrium. Home versus outer world, inner world versus outer world might be even another way to say it. But Ceres, sitting opposed this new moon, is really asking us some questions about how do we care for ourselves? How do you nourish yourself and nurture yourself? And is it really nourishing, like what you're doing? Does it bring contentment and comfort, satisfaction? Are you carrying around some unnecessary and unhelpful shoulds that keep you stuck in old patterns that affect your ability to care for yourself, to speak for yourself, to tend to your needs, to act from heart? Some tips to working with all of this energy. It's a great time to just spend some time at home, to settle into yourself, your self-self, and your physical home. It's a good time to spruce things up and clean things up and create or attend to your safe space, you know, your sweet spot. You want to create a place where you can rest and relax here, and it's a good time to rest and relax. It's a good time to just slow the pace a little bit. Be mindful of that. You know, see if there's places where you can just kind of, lay around and feel the breeze or the sun on your face. Or, you know, you want to be able to take the pressure off and settle into your space. Relish life a little bit more. That's what we're trying to do. Eat fresh food. Take good care of yourself. It's an opportunity to consider, where and how can your love and healing come into more solid form? And I think that's a question we could all sit with and ponder on and see what we can come up with. And it would be really helpful, I think, if you're going to follow along on these podcasts, to be able to look at your chart and see where things are lining up and what might be getting activated in your own chart. As we look at these different energies at play. Certainly, if you have Capricorn, Cancer things in your natal chart, this full moon is, you're going to feel it, or this new moon, you're going to feel it more significantly. And I hope that as these podcasts go forward, that you'll find yourself becoming much more knowledgeable about and comfortable with understanding your own chart. I hope that you are feeling a sense of freedom and independence on this day, and that you find this podcast information helpful as you move forward in your own personal evolution. Take good care and shine on.
Beautiful oasis with that voice sweet as honey. Birdie in the air, nothing can compare. You're worth more than the whole world's money. Just to hear that sweet voice even brings the bees joy. Pour it on me warm, sweet honey. Every word you say